It's a poor worker who blames his tools, and it's a poor farmer who blames the dirt. Nonetheless, I have yet to meet one, and I do come from farm stock, who does not, at least on occasion, give in to the temptation. Too sandy, too rocky, too gummy, too thin. And then there's the weather. Too wet, too dry, too hot, too cold. And then there's the bugs and the birds and the weed and the blight. And it's all true. As Jesus clearly knows, the sower's work is simply the first step in a process that is really out of their hands. So farmers have every right to complain. They live a remarkably precarious life, face to face with the limitations of their own efforts and their ultimate dependence on something. Luck, providence, God's goodwill, to keep money in the bank and the land in the family. So when it doesn't work out the way they want it to, the way they need it to, they go looking for an explanation. They confront this basic problem. If God wants the good, why do things go wrong? And this was also the question the parable of the sower addressed. Why did so many people, especially from God's own chosen people, not claim Jesus' good news of God's kingdom for themselves? If God wants this good, why wasn't it going better? Now, generally, Jesus is not big on providing clear explanations as to the meaning of his parables. That's part of why he taught with them. The way that they require us to wrestle with the stories for ourselves, the way they allow us to turn and find multiple facets of meaning and truth. This time, though, we are given a lovely, clear, straightforward explanation that breaks the whole thing down for us. Practically preaches itself, really. And yet, here I am. Now, the consensus among the commentaries and the scholars seems to be that the explanation of the parable is actually an early church addition to a story that Jesus told, although it would have had to be a very early addition indeed, as it appears even in Mark's gospel, the first to be written and generally quite committed to keeping things brief. But this particular problem must have been so deeply troubling, and this particular explanation so tidy and so sensible, that I can see why it would have taken root quickly and deeply, particularly when the question is placed into the context of Jesus' earliest followers. Jesus was right there, in person and then in living memory, telling the good news himself. The Spirit was right there. Surely the problem could not lie with either the seed or the sower, the good news or Jesus. So it had to be something about the people in whom it was planted. Let those who have ears to hear, hear, and take steps to make themselves suitable soil for the seed of the Word of God. Now, this is perhaps a sermon you have heard before on this text. What kind of soil are you? Are you hard and resistant? Or enthusiastic but shallow? Or are you so wrapped up in worldly concerns that you just don't have time or attention for God's word in your life? What can you do to make yourself ready to produce fruits for God? And that's a good sermon. Those are important questions that each of us need to take seriously. What is the state of my life, of my soul, of my relationship to God? The trouble seems to be that we rarely stop with self-evaluation. And indeed, that original explanation was not directed towards Jesus' followers, but those outside of Jesus' followers' communities. And so we are led down that oh-so-seductive path of evaluating the state of other people's soil, given permission to judge and to dismiss those in whom the word of God does not seem to be taking root while we congratulate ourselves on our faithfulness. Yet I somehow doubt this is the message that Jesus would want us to take away. So what happens if we step back from this well-known interpretation and try to hear the parable with fresh ears? We're still faced with the same basic question. Why do so few people respond to the word of God in Jesus? Why do so few people come to church anymore? Why do so few people believe what we believe, see what we see, and hear what we hear in the good news of the kingdom? What might this parable say to us, the contemporary church, about this problem? It's a poor worker who blames his tools. It's an even worse worker who doesn't take care of their tools in order to ensure they are able to do the job asked of them, and then blames them. Now, neither we nor the early church would want to accuse Jesus of being such a worker, but perhaps it is not an unfair accusation of ourselves. Perhaps instead of casting ourselves as the soil, we need to cast ourselves as the sower. After all, we are the body of Christ, the continuing expression of the incarnation, Jesus' hands and feet and heart and mouth in this world. Christ is in us, and we are in Christ, continuing his ministry of proclamation, service, and love, spreading the seed of the word of God. And it is a poor farmer who blames the dirt. Farming is not just a matter of scattering some seeds and crossing your fingers, or even praying and piously leaving it all up to God. Good, responsible farmers know their land. They do what they can to prepare the soil for the seed, and then to protect the seed until it takes strong root and matures. They pick rocks out of the rocky ground. My childhood home had a giant rock pile that was marvelous fun to play in, but had been much less fun to build. They turn the soil in order to loosen it up and give tender roots and shoots a chance. They irrigate. They plant strategically located trees and dig strategically located trenches. They fertilize. They rotate their crops. They choose their seeds in relation to the soil and the climate in which they are planting. They try to control the pests. And in the midst of all that careful, back-breaking, time-consuming labor, they offer their prayers, recognizing that it is all for naught if God does not send the sun and the rain, if God is not in the seed and the soil. Then, when the harvest finally comes, they can lift their voices, whether in thanksgiving or in lament, knowing that at least they did their part in the work. Can we do the same? When we lament the state of our churches or of our society, can we honestly say that we have done the work that is asked of us, that we agreed to take on as members of Christ's body? Now, please don't hear me saying that you just need to work harder, that you just need to be better Christians or better Anglicans or better churchgoers and all the problems will just go away, that the seeds we sow will necessarily spring up and bear fruit, because we want them to. Fruit that looks like more bodies in the seats and Sunday schools of our churches, or less injustice and suffering in our cities. Because I don't think we can count on that. It is not just about our labor. But I do think that if we have ears to hear, we can count on God leading us forward, enabling us to discern what the soil we have been given to sow needs in order to receive the liberating and transforming word of God. And it might not look like what you or I needed, or even what we continue to need. It might even look to us more like a hailstorm or a drought, a great clearing of the land. But nonetheless, we are called to participate in the life and work of the sower, trusting that God is already in the seed and the soil and the sun, maybe even in the hail, ready to bring forth a miraculous, bountiful harvest, 100-fold or 60. I'll even take 30.